Welcome to episode 28 of the Walk and Talk podcast. I'm Greg Johnson, and today is Thursday, June 4th, 2020. In this episode, I want to provide an overview of the life map, which is found on the resourcesforlife.com website. If you go there, you'll find it under resourcesforlife.com/map. And it's really sort of the basis for the entire website, which is to provide people, particularly those involved in public interest work, the tools and resources needed to have an effective and healthy and fulfilled life in all areas of life. So on this map, there are seven categories, seven areas of life that are emphasized. They are all interrelated and interdependent. In other words, as one area of life increases in effectiveness and wellness, then the other areas benefit. But they are also areas of life that are built upon layers of sorts. So let me give you these seven categories and then go into a little more detail. The first area is life ways. In the past, that was referred to as faith, but life ways encompasses whatever a person's religion or philosophy or worldview might be. That's their life way. And that's the primary foundation that the others are built on. The second is health. If you don't have good health, there's not much we can do in these other areas of life. So health is really essential. And health is built on having a positive attitude. We know that our mindset and our perspective on the world, our optimistic, positive thinking, that can directly impact our physiology, our health. So good health is built upon a good, positive outlook about the world. And once we have those two in place, number three is career. We're in good health, we have a good outlook and a good attitude, and we can go out and engage in a vocation that has value to individuals, if we're an entrepreneur, or we can have a skill that's valuable to employers, we can go out and get a job. But we have this skill and knowledge and experience that allows us to exchange and trade our time and labor for money. And that brings us to the fourth category, finance. So without a good job or some source of income, which is dependent on having good health, which is dependent on having a positive outlook in life, without that, we can't really get into a discussion of finance because you won't have any finances to discuss. So this assumes that you're doing well in the other three layers. And finance then is just a focus on how we manage our income and our expenses and our saving and strategies that can be used to live on less than we earn and to have an abundance. That's difficult to do for people at any level of income. People tend to fill up the space that they have in their home. They tend to use up the finances that they have in their bank account. That's just sort of human nature. So similarly with losing weight is a matter of eating fewer calories than you're burning every day. But all of these things are hard. So finance largely becomes the skill of disciplining oneself to saying no and cutting back on financial things in the same way we would with food if we're trying to lose weight. But that's finance, and learning how to more effectively utilize your career or careers or sources of income to continue to produce more income and to avoid certain pitfalls and traps like excessive credit card debt and things like that. And there's also a bit of a dance that goes on between finance and other areas. So you might find that you're spending a lot of time clipping coupons, and it's certainly important to think about saving, but you need to keep track of how much time are you investing in clipping and organizing coupons, and if that time were spent on your career, working, earning income, how much money would you earn? So decisions need to be made about opportunity cost. But that's finance. And then once a person is able to create that abundance in their life, and abundance need not be excessive, even just, you know, having several hundred dollars left at the end of the month is an excess. It's a type of abundance, which is much different than getting to the end of the month and not having the several hundred dollars you need to pay some bills. Once you're in that situation, we're able to more effectively have healthy and supportive relationships. So relationships is the fifth area and the fifth layer. And if you have a solid career and solid finances, and you're in good physical, emotional, mental health, and you have a positive outlook on life, you can be a very helpful friend or family member to others. You can give a lot more of yourself if you're in that position. Then think about how your relationships would be affected if you didn't have a job, you didn't have finances, you were in poor health, and you had a negative outlook on life. Now you're going to go have some relationships. Those relationships are going to be different than if you were in a more positive place. That's not to say that people who are having a difficult time in life shouldn't have relationships, but we should all try to, as best we can, find ourselves in a situation of surplus with regard to our health, career, finances, and even a surplus as far as our spirituality and desire to give and to others and care for others. So that's relationships. And the next layer is activism. And you can also think of that as public interest work. Activism can sometimes have a negative connotation, and there are some activist groups that are like considered eco-terrorism and such. There are activists that cause riots and things. So the term activism, I'm thinking about changing to public interest, but the principle's the same. What can we do to positively impact the world we live in a way that it has a way of improving our life and the lives of others, bettering the world? And you would think, well, that's, why isn't that the first thing? Like, without making the world better, what's the point of everything else? But we need to have that positive outlook on life, the abundance of health, the solid career, good finances, positive relationships before we can go out and effectively change the world. And there are people that get so wrapped up in their activism that their health suffers, their relationship suffers, their finances suffer. They're so immersed in what sometimes is kind of a negative interaction with the problems in the world, it begins to affect their outlook, their view, their philosophy, their religious perspective. So that's why activism is a layer that is dependent on those other layers. And finally, the seventh category is effectiveness, that in all of these areas, we can be more effective at achieving positive outcomes that we've set to reach at the outset. Effectivism and effectiveness causes us to want to have ways to measure the outcomes, measure the impact of our success, and effectiveness impacts and relates to all of these other life areas. So, as far as your philosophy or religion, you could measure your effectiveness at achieving your goals by looking at whatever it is you're trying to improve in that area. So maybe you're trying to read more religious texts, books on Buddhism, or religious leaders, studying the Jesuits, whatever people or groups historically have been the source of knowledge and inspiration, you could be studying them. And so you might say, I want to spend 30 minutes a day reading from these texts. Or your faith, your worldview might include meditation or prayer. And so you'd want to have a commitment to be mindful every day, spend 10, 15, 30 minutes meditating or praying. Or if your worldview involves music and singing, then take time out every day to worship or praise or rejoice in music. Now, religions don't necessarily have a metric to measure their effectiveness by. You don't, you know, have something like a thermometer that checks your temperature. You can't check your how full you are, how full is your tank on religion. But you can at least measure some of the inputs, and you can believe that the outputs are going to be good. And with health, certainly you can have goals and outcomes like lowered cholesterol, lower blood sugar levels, lower blood pressure, more stamina and ability to go exercise. Those are the outcome goals. And the inputs would be, how much time do you spend exercising every day? And what exercises seem to be the most effective and efficient for achieving the desired outcomes? And then it's a little bit of some juggling there. And what foods tend to bring you closer to your goals? And how can you change your diet, continuing to improve it from one month to the next? So those would all be ways of putting on these effectiveness glasses and examining that area of life. And you can be creative and think of similar ways you can measure effectiveness in your career, such as continuing education, keeping your resume organized, the resume being sort of a general overview of your work experience. And then within your career and within your job, you probably have some sort of annual review that looks into greater detail regarding what are you doing in your business or organization to grow, to be engaged with others. And you can keep that information up to date and organized as well. And then with finance, because finance is generally about numbers, that's usually an easier area of life to have inputs and desired outcomes. But for finance, the regular sort of monthly routine is to pay the bills and to look at your income and to figure out ways that you can reduce your expenses. Relationships, by contrast, are much less numeric and not as easy to measure in terms of progress or goals, but you could have as your desired inputs would be spending a certain amount of face-to-face time with people rather than on social media, You could have a goal of handwriting cards or letters, which are something people don't get often. It's a way to connect with people. Not quite the same as having an in-person conversation, but something nice to do. And even phone calls are a nice way to stay connected. And if all of those are unavailable, or if you've met your goals, then you can look at keeping up on emails with friends and family. And that's a nice way to stay in touch. So there's a lot we can do in terms of measuring our desired inputs for relationships. And the outputs, hopefully, are that we'll be having a positive impact on other people's lives and we'll be more connected with others. And then under activism, that's a very important area of life to consider effectiveness, because sometimes activism can involve social action, direct action techniques that can result in counterproductive outcomes. Or there could be trade-offs. It might be that you want to raise awareness for an issue, and the only good way to do that is to have events that will raise people's awareness. But sometimes having events, if they go bad, if a demonstration or protest turns into a riot, then you get blamed for that, and then your cause can end up losing ground in terms of the public opinion of what you are all about. And then even the category of effectiveness can be measured by effectiveness. In other words, there are people who spend time reading books on effectiveness, on time management, on workflow and processes, and you can have your own systems to keep track of to-do lists and prioritizing the things that you want to get done every day. So you can be more effective with your effectiveness by looking into those tools, but at a minimum, you can be examining your methods of measuring and improving the things in your life. But those are the seven categories. And once there is good health in all of those areas, then rather being like layers, which I describe them as, they become just these independent areas, which is more like the pie chart that's on the website. They all connect in the middle and interact with each other. And you just want to make sure you're not overemphasizing one at the cost of another. But that's basically it. And it's a way to kind of prioritize life, categorize life, even to the extent of how you organize your files on your computer. You'll have a category for finance. You'll have a category for health. You can have a category, a folder for relationships. And it's a way to go from year to year having those folders organized and to get your mind thinking about those areas of life. And another advantage of being mindful of these different areas is that if you find yourself spending a lot of time on something that doesn't quite fit into one of those categories, then you may want to ask yourself how much of a priority that should be. If it's something that's not benefiting your relationships, it's not benefiting your finances or your health or your faith or your career or making the world a better place, how is it fitting in? And that can help you evaluate how you're spending your time and your money. Well, that's about it for now. I'm going to wrap up this episode and want to thank everyone for listening, for subscribing, for comments, and for shares. And I look forward to sharing more with you again soon. Take care.